Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey. For the next hour, join Maria as she takes on topics important to you. Finances, raising children, and dealing with your husband through his tough times and yours. This is the place to be as Maria and her guests bring you a wealth of information on all of these topics. Now, Maria Bailey on Mom Talk Radio.
The heat is on if you're a basketball fan. At least the heat is on here in South Florida. And the heat out there, the weather, it's getting a little warmer, which is awesome. I've just traveled up to the New England area, and I think even y'all are getting, how about that little southern y'all there? Even y'all are getting a little heat. So that means summer is coming, and there is a lot of crazy summer plans going on. Actually, you know, like summer is the finish line for school, right? But for a mom, we have to get to that finish line. And it's amazing how hard we got to work to get to that finish line. And our kids have got to work really hard. I know that we in our house, I have three in high school. So we literally just finished four straight days of AP exams. And then these poor guys have to go and take a final exam for those same classes. And that's, of course, was sandwiched in between a Saturday of ACT testing and SAT testing. So my poor kids, I'm like feeling sorry for them, and I shouldn't even have to feel sorry for them because I work a lot harder than they do. But in putting it all into perspective, they are working their tails off to get to that summer finish line. And, you know, the other thing about this particular month is that now that they've changed the whole school schedule and kids, especially in the South, get out so early, they literally spend their entire Memorial Day weekend. So what do we have, a 3 or 4 day weekend, most of us? No. Most of our kids are going to spend it inside studying instead of being able to go away and have fun during that first weekend of summer. So the whole like calendar schedule has been totally thrown upside down because of the way they're doing things now. And those poor moms in North Carolina, that go to school year round. How do you plan a summer vacation when you can't even take off for the summer? I don't know. Anyways, we got a big show lined up for you, a lot of great solutions for moms. And here's something to celebrate. Mom Talk Radio hit over 9,000 downloads this month. That means moms who are actually downloading the show, not moms who are listening, because we're grateful enough that we're broadcast over Radio America, sends us out to 40-some-odd cities across the United States. We've got people listening online, but 9,000 of you. I mean, who would have thought? There's over 900 listeners in China. So for all those Chinese moms out there listening to Mom Talk Radio, thank you. Keep listening. Another 200 in Japan. I mean, it's crazy. So don't forget to tell your fellow moms. Look at the 10,000. Tell your fellow moms to download Mom Talk Radio. We're here every week, and we've got a lot of great stuff in store. When we come back today, we are joined by Bethany and Scott Palmer. They're the authors of The Money Couple and First Comes Love, Then Comes Money, A Couple's Guide to Financial Communication. Like a Whitman's box of chocolates. I just open, I take one bite, I go, that was really good. I throw out the rest. And I let my kids do the same thing because I feel like by the end of the night, we've gotten it all out of our system.
Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
Every day here at the offices of Mom Talk Radio, I get a ton of books that come across my desk. Ironically, just this morning, I was opening the mail and There came in the mail a book called First Comes Love, Then Comes Money. Do you think that I was wise enough to look at my schedule for today to see who was on Mom Talk Radio? No. So what do I do with the book this morning when it comes in the mail? I put it in the pile and with a note that says, please get these folks on Mom Talk Radio because it's a really good subject. How magical is this? I didn't even give the book to my producer yet because lo and behold, I get to the studio, and here they are, right here on the show. So I'm delighted. Man, we move fast here at Mom Talk Radio. I am delighted to have with us Bethany and Scott Palmer. They're known as the Money Couple. And we're going to be talking about their new book, First Comes Love, Then Comes Money, A Couple's Guide to Financial Communication. So, hi, Bethany and Scott. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio.
Well, thanks for having us.
It's great to be with you.
So, you know, I have to tell you, I've been married for 19 years. This is probably not unlike many married couples, but money is a conversation that we don't like to deal with. In fact, I'd much rather just write a check than have to discuss it with my husband. But my feeling is if you wrote a book on it, I'm probably not alone, correct?
Yeah. Well, you're not alone at all. Bethany and I have been working in the financial planning industry combined for 37 years, and one of the things that we found is that couples don't know how to talk about money, and that really put us on our journey. And what we found is that money affects just about, if not all, the decisions that we make as a couple. What kind of car we drive, where we live, what kind of cereal we buy, what kind of gas we put in the car. It affects everything. And so couples need to understand how to talk about money. And once they can start talking about money and learn how to do that, it will totally change the landscape of their relationship.
And one of the things that we thought was that is if you put a good financial plan in place for a couple, that that will help their financial communication and their financial relationship, where those things are obviously very important and we support those 100% being financial planners ourselves. We have seen that just having a financial plan is not going to give you a good financial relationship. And one of the things that we found is that people marry their opposite money personalities. 65% of people marry their opposite money personalities. And if money affects every decision that we make together, no wonder we have such a high divorce rate. 70% of divorces are due to financial conflict. So no wonder, huh?
Well, I was going to ask you that exact question. Money is not just about, I don't know, the lessons that our parents taught us, but it's so rooted in a lot of times our personality. We could be addicted to spending. It could give us self-worth. I mean, there's a lot of emotion involved with it. So it's not just I'm going to get married and change my style, because that's like kind of changing your religion. So how do you deal with that if it's so deep-rooted?
Sure. We say that your money personality is really in your DNA, that you really can't change what your money personality is. If your parents are opposite than you are, which a lot of us have those kind of situations, or we've seen reactions to money that we don't like, it's probably just a reaction to against what our actual money personality is. So, for example, just to give you two, just to back up a little bit, we've identified five money personalities. They're a saver, a spender, a risk taker, security seeker, and then the last one is a flyer. A flyer is a person who flies by the seat of their pants when it comes to money. Money really isn't on their radar. And everybody has two of these five money personalities. So when we talk about opposite, for example, Scott and myself, we're both primary spenders. We can spend with the best of them. But secondarily, we are opposite. I'm a risk taker, and Scott is a security seeker. And really, that is, we have observed all the couples that we've met with and we've done research with, and really, your money personality is who you are. So, and there's not a wrong or right money personality, but when you're married to your opposite, it can feel like yours is right and theirs is wrong.
Crazy thing is, often those differences really attract us when we're dating. So he spends money on me, he brings me flowers, he takes me to these great places to eat. Now you're three kids into the deal, and those things don't mean as much to you anymore because you're more worried about college savings. But the other person hasn't changed. And so it's really important that you understand these money personalities, because it allows us to work better in our relationships and really extend a lot of grace at the same time.
Okay, so I'm going to do as I do often on Mom Talk Radio and throw myself on the table here and let you go at it. What about the fact that, like, you marry someone that has absolutely no knowledge of anything financial, you know, the benefit, and it can start at the lack of the importance of a good credit score. How do you deal with that if you are a person that's educated and you just constantly are, like, perplexed about the fact that what do you mean you're going to sign a loan that's 10% interest? Do you realize that you're spending twice as much on whatever you're buying? You know what I mean? Like, they just weren't, their parents never taught them those things. So, and you don't want to become the mother in that situation.
Absolutely. And I think that's a great point. You don't want to become the mother to your spouse when it comes about money. At the same time, there's always one person that we find in a relationship that's the primary money person. So they might be the CPA, they might be an accountant, they might do whatever you can think of.
Or have had a lot of experience with money.
Right, or have had a lot of experience. And so there's usually a primary person in the relationship, but you need to learn how to bring along the other person into the finances. That person that you just described is probably what we call a flyer. They've just never connected with money. The great thing about a flyer is they're very teachable. And so it's not fair for one person to run the house finances. It's just way too stressful for one person to take 100% of that on. It doesn't matter if you have separate checking accounts or one checking account. It doesn't matter if you have separate credit cards or one credit card. What you have to do is make sure that you're working together. And we Bethany and I, in our book, talk about the importance of something that we call a money huddle, which is a monthly meeting where you sit down and you talk about the finances, and so that each of you can really engage and understand and see what's happening with your overall money relationship.
Again, if we say that money affects every decision that you make, to put all that pressure on one person isn't smart. And usually flyers want to learn, so if you approach a flyer like they're an idiot, then that makes it really difficult. If you say, hey, let's take a class, let's look online, let's learn about
right.
what interest is and what that means, they may come along a little bit easier with you.
Well, fortunately, we've got your book to help us figure out how to help those flyers. Bethany and Scott can be found at themoneycouple.com. Their book can be found there as well. You don't have to go it alone. You can actually have Scott and Bethany help you, and their book will do just that. So thank you both of you for joining us today. And when we return, we're going to be talking about business, how you can run your business, talking about money today on Mom Talk Radio. A lot of women enter the business world when they become moms, and often there's not enough resources to kind of guide you along the way. We were just talking about money in our first segment, money in couples. Now it's money in your business and how mom can figure it all out. We're joined today by Randa Cody, who's the founder and president of SPE Solutions. And she has dedicated her life, really, not only to her kids, her family, and her husband, but also to helping other women grow their businesses. And she's the driving force behind Moms in Business Unite. So I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, Randa.
Thanks, Maria. Thanks for having me here today.
So tell us a little bit about Moms in Business Unite and how the conference came to be.
Well, we started about 2 years ago. 2009 was our inaugural conference in San Diego, California. And it came about from about five women getting together and constantly really being asked for help getting other women's businesses started. So we kind of brainstormed a little bit and tried to see how we could bring some education to women locally in San Diego to move their businesses forward. And we did a lot of research on this topic and found that a lot of conferences that are very geared toward women in Southern California specifically are very much marketplace driven, and that's really fantastic, but don't necessarily provide an overwhelming amount of education to help with the running of your businesses at one time. So we put together a bunch of different ingredients and came up with an educational conference for women business owners that at the time happened once a year in San Diego. And I'm so excited to announce that in 2011, thanks to the great sponsorship of Huggies Mom Inspired, we're now in five cities across the country with our first one coming up in Atlanta next week.
So why did you guys pick Atlanta?
That's a great question. So the Huggies Mom Inspired has this great grant program, and we really wanted to incorporate a number of the grant applicants and grant recipients to be a part of this conference and provide a lot of value to women at the same stages or different stages of business ownership. And so we've chosen Atlanta.
Great. And so one of the elements of the conference is the high level of speakers. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. You know, we're so blessed. When we did call for speakers this year, we got hundreds of incredibly qualified speaker applicants, and we're so excited about it. Really, I think the best way to describe our speakers is incredibly successful at what they've done, whether it's bringing a product to market or helping women business owners bring their products to market. They're just experts in their industry, from social networking to video production to get your message out there, really, you know, kind of cutting edge technology as well, a lot of out-of-the-box type thinking, and just the best way to describe it are experts in their field, which is really so exciting for us to be able to offer that quality of speaker to our attendees.
Yeah, and then one of the things when you go into some other cities that you have is the New Inventor Showcase. Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's become one of the most popular aspects of our conference. We do. We have a New Inventor Showcase in all five cities this year, and it really came about as our way to give back to the community. It was our way of really promoting folks who have entered the marketplace with a new product within the previous year and a half prior to the conference, and getting them to showcase their activities, their marketing, their products. And then we have all of the attendees at the conference vote on the best new product or service of the year. And one of the great things about this is that after a couple of years, we're now starting to see a lot of successes come from our conference. And regardless of whether or not people have actually won this, the New Inventor Showcase, it's kind of like the American Idol effect. You know, it's just having them involved in the New Inventor Showcase has propelled them forward, whether it's themselves getting ready to market their product or just being noticed as being a part of that community. Everybody wants to just come out and support new businesses. And it's really great to get the participants engaged as well. They love seeing what the new products are. They really want to support the local community in which the conference is taking place.
Yeah, really, really great content. I want to remind everybody that the Moms in Business Unite .com website is up, available with all of the dates of all five conferences. Atlanta does take place on May 19th. It's coming right around the corner. But it's quickly followed up with four other great cities, including San Diego, which is the summer. So please go to the website, check it out. Randa, thank you so much for being with us, and we will see everybody next Thursday. MomsInBusinessUnite.com in Atlanta, Georgia. When we return, we're shifting into the kitchen with Heather Christo.
Mothers of America, this hour belongs to you. It's Mom Talk Radio with Maria Bailey.
Food is something that is often on our minds, even as a child. And one certain woman took that passion for food that began in her childhood all the way to the kitchen, where she has done amazing things with her family and with serving others. Heather Christo is here to share her passion for food with us on Mom Talk Radio. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Great. So your recipes have been featured on TastyKitchen.com and TasteSpotting.com and Food Gawker and a whole bunch of other places. Tell us a little bit about what inspires you to cook.
I really grew up in the kitchen. My mom was a classically trained French cook, and because of my father's job, there were always large-scale parties and elaborate dinner parties going on in the house, and my mom really orchestrated everything herself. So even as a small child, I was kind of playing sous chef, and everything from helping pick vegetables in the garden to stirring to helping set the table for these parties. It started very, very young.
And so tell us how, you know, what has it grown into today for you?
Well, eventually after college, I went to culinary school after realizing there was sort of this, gap in the Seattle market for high-end caterers. And when I came back to Seattle in the late 90s, I took jobs private chefing and also went into people's homes and kind of catered like elaborate dinner parties. And when I got married myself and started having children, I sort of hung up my chef's coat, and now I do it for friends and family for the most part. But it's really a passion of mine, and I like to think of the whole idea of treating your friends and family. So whether you're just throwing the party or really throwing yourself into a beautiful meal that you cook for them, it's about doing something special for the people you love.
Well, you know, I have to tell you, so when someone introduced us or sent me to your website, they're like, this is like the real life Martha Stewart. I cannot believe. I mean, where do you come up with your ideas for how you present food? I once remember in college, I dated this guy, and he used to say, I don't care what it tastes like, presentation is everything when it comes to food. Your food looks beyond edible. How do you do that?
So nice. Well, you eat with your eyes first, right? In the spirit of the guy you dated. And everybody. I was an art major in college, and I always was creative, and I really actually thought I would go into illustrating children's books. And then I got bit by the food bug even more than I was as a child and went into cooking. But I think that I really drew my inspiration for presentation from my art background. And also, you know, I'm just tend to be really inspired by the seasons and by colors and textures, and I always have kind of a million crazy ideas for presentation kicking around in my head. But I love it. Just kind of the natural beauty of food isn't celebrated enough. So
yeah,
presentation's the biggest part for me.
Okay, so let's just say we're a mom and our in-laws are coming over and we want to just do something basic as far as presentation. Is there like a rule of thumb? Do you put the meat on first? Do you always add green to the plate? I mean, is there some easy thing that would make us look like a pro?
Well, I definitely think cooking a basic meal that you're comfortable with is the way to go, and then you just amp it up with presentation. So height is a trick of professional chefs. You know, you put your starch, and then you add your greens, and then you would put your protein on top and some kind of pretty garnish, like fresh herbs or edible flowers are always favorites of mine. And then whatever your sauce is, you know, swirl it around the outside. But there's also ways to take other things outside of, you know, a basic entree. Like one of my favorite things is if you're, you know, just entertaining people and it's an appetizer beforehand or for a cocktail party, like a cheese platter. I think people are really used to, you know, cubed cheeses with little crackers and maybe like a toothpick to pick up the cheese, right?
Right.
But you can do like amazing things where you make, use the crackers or use apple slices and build like a mosaic on the plate. And it's not difficult, you know, and add in things that are a little less traditional, like honeycomb or dried fruits or even bits of chocolate are really beautiful when paired with cheeses. You just have to sort of think outside the box, or come to my website and I'll think outside the box for you.
Well, no, I was going to ask you, I mean, your website is so beautiful. I can tell that you definitely are in the art business. Do you coach people? Like if I was going to be doing an event, can you coach me through that event?
I'll tell you what, I have a lot of regular readers that I am always in correspondence with, and they'll email me questions all the time, and I'm happy to help people. You know, I'm throwing this tea party for my granddaughter. What do you have any suggestions? Or I'm throwing this dinner party for my husband's birthday. I'm always happy to dole out advice. And then I try to keep a fresh supply of parties that I've thrown to inspire people on the blog, not just recipes.
Well, I got to tell you, I went to your website. I was not only inspired, but I was like, okay, this girl's got her act together. She's beautiful. Her dinners are beautiful. And I'm sitting here in sweatpants. So
I'm wearing sweatpants right now. So
oh, good. Okay, that makes me feel a lot better because you had it way too together on the website. But
listen.
So I want to tell everybody where to find you. It's heathercristo.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-O.com. We've got a link to it on Mom Talk Radio. I'm telling you, if you're sitting there in front of your laptop listening to Mom Talk Radio, you got me on your iPhone, switch over. You can listen and you can go surf the internet, you know, on your iPhone. You got to check out this website. It's really beautiful, and you're a beautiful person, Heather. Thank you so much for joining us today on Mom Talk Radio.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. And when we come back, the Moms Roundtable, we're going to be discussing easy tips for your for being eco-friendly and going green in your house.
Even super moms need a little advice. Here's yours. More of Mom Talk Radio.
It's time for the Moms Roundtable, the time of the show where I'm joined by two of my virtual friends. And today we're going to be talking about going green and being eco-friendly with your family. Lori is joining us from Massachusetts, where she has three children, 10, 9, and 7. Her website is groovygreenliving.com. We'll have a link on Mom Talk Radio, of course. And Callie joins us from Tampa, Florida, with two children, 8 and 2. And she online is theecochick.com. That's C-H-I-C.com. But we have a link on Mom Talk Radio. So welcome, ladies, to the show. I want to start with you, Lori, first. Tell us what drives you to, I mean, really create greenness within your family.
What drives me to create greenness?
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I mean, clearly you're into being green because you blog about it, so it must be part of your lifestyle. Some people I've heard, you know, they're like, yeah, well, whatever I'm going to do isn't going to really matter. So build your case, you know, like, why has it become important to you?
Well, my premise and my tagline actually for my blog is simple change equals a greener life. So I really do believe that making small changes in your life, regardless of how small they are, can make a huge impact on the world and on your health. And my whole going towards greenness really began because two of my children were diagnosed with life-threatening food allergies. And so we were really forced to evaluate what was going in, on, and around our bodies. And that's really where it all began. And it's gone from there. And 12 years later, you know, I continue to educate myself. The world is constantly changing. There's a lot of information out there. And it's important to share with one another. So
yeah,
that's what's kept me going.
And Callie, what about you?
I started college not knowing where I was going with my degree. I started out as an art major and realized that a lot of my fellow students were graduating and working, making very little money. And, I just couldn't see myself going that way. So I had taken some other classes, and biology had excited me. So I got into that, and it slowly led into where I'm at now. I worked for a couple environmental consulting firms, and so it's been my career, and slowly as I had children, it became, you know, my passion as well, especially since I saw from the industry side of things how much impact we actually make just doing little things. Yeah, you know, like Lori said, I mean, it really does make a difference.
So, Lori, when you coach other families or you talk to other families about getting started and making those small little changes, where do you start? Is it just with the water bottles? Where do you start?
What I generally tell people is to start with things that aren't cost prohibitive. Really start with things that are already in your home or things that are simple to do. So, for example, turn off the water when you brush your teeth. Don't let the water run. And that for me is challenging. And I work at it with my kids as well. You don't need that extra water. Use reusable shopping bags. They don't have to be the fancy bags that the store sell. You can use anything. We all have old tote bags laying around at home. You know, throw them in the front seat of your car and bring them with you to the supermarket. They're just simple changes that you can make in your life that really don't cost a whole lot.
Yeah, you know what's amazing? The Europeans have been using recycle, you know, they've been bringing their own shopping bags to grocery stores for years. And it's amazing to me that it has taken so long for that to catch on in the United States. And even now, like you take in your bags to the grocery store, and in my grocery store, they like freak out. Like the baggers don't know how to bag with anything other than their own plastic bags. And I mean, to me, I'd rather carry more stuff in. I have to make fewer trips back and forth to the car and the kitchen, you know, when I go to the grocery store with my own bags. But they literally like freak out, and I just don't understand why it's not more accepted.
If we all keep doing it, it will become more accepted.
Yeah, that's true. And then they'll figure out that they can cut the cost of plastic bags in their stores, and that'll make them very happy.
Yeah.
So, Callie, what about you? Where do you tell moms to start?
I have them look at what's most important to them, because what is important to me may not be as important to the next person. You know, Lori mentioned that her family had food allergies, so I'm going to assume, Lori, that you started with researching a lot of the local foods and organic foods and changing your eating habits. A mom has got a child with eczema, they may be looking at greening their healthcare products. For me, it was just finding little things that were easy to start with, whether that's around the kitchen, paper towels, napkins, things that are disposable. In my previous career, I inspected a lot of landfills. I know that sounds kind of gross, but it was kind of an eye-opener to me. And seeing all the waste and how that waste doesn't really go anywhere when we put it in the landfill. To me, reducing the amount of waste that we generate to begin with was one of the places that I start with. So it really does depend on the mom and what they're passionate about, where they need to start.
There's so much information out there that tells us do organic, don't do organic, do this or that. How do you decipher it all, particularly like the organic? I mean, I imagine you both attack this topic on your blog. Is that right, Lori?
Yes, that's right.
I want to make sure that we get into this before we close, where there's so much information that you both write about, and there's so many good, useful tips that I want to make sure everybody knows where we're going. GroovyGreenLiving.com. You can find Lori there. You can find Callie at TheEcoChick.com. And I want to encourage both of everyone to follow both of these wonderful ladies on Twitter and everywhere else. So thank you so much for helping us go green today on Mom Talk Radio. And we'll have to have you back to tell us, talk about going green during the holidays. So thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
When we return, we're going to be talking about Bonding Over Beauty, a mother-daughter beauty guide to fostering self-esteem, confidence, and trust. We're all looking for ways to bond with our daughters, and my husband once told me, or you read in a book somewhere, that the relationship between a mother and the daughter is the most volatile in the entire household. And having raised two teenagers and gotten a card on Mother's Day that said, I know we have our arguments, but everyone ends up me as a better person. So definitely we need a guide in bonding with our daughters. And Erica Katz has created one. It's called Bonding Over Beauty, a mother-daughter beauty guide to foster self-esteem, confidence, and trust. And I want to welcome her to Mom Talk Radio.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
So why, of all the things to bond with, did you choose beauty as the bonding place?
Well, I think every mother and daughter are looking for that common ground, what they can talk about. And I was sitting with my daughter one day, and I was clipping her nails, as we all have to do. And while I was cutting her nails, she started talking to me about her friends and school and what was going on in her life. and I wanted to keep the conversation going beyond past clipping her nails, so I went and got a moisturizer, and I started moisturizing her hands like they would do in a salon, and she kept talking and talking. And I thought, wow, what a great way to get her to tell me what's going on in her life, because we're doing something fun that she loves to do, and yet we're also having a great conversation. So that's why I thought beauty, grooming, hygiene, these are things all women have to do. And so I thought, what a great way to bond with her.
So what does the book entail?
The book is separated into many different chapters. I talk about hair, I talk about makeup, I talk about hair removal, I talk about puberty. And what I'm trying to do is tell moms how to talk to their daughters about all these different issues. For instance, a lot of girls want to shave their legs because they don't like the hair on their legs, and they want to shave under their arms, and maybe they have hair above their lip and hair between their brows, and there are all these different methods to do it in all different places, and depending on your skin color, depending on the type of hair you have, there is an appropriate method for each, and it's hard to know what to do. So I have a chapter just devoted to that. Another thing I talk about is puberty. How do you talk to your daughter? How do you bring up the subject? What do you say when it goes into the talk about sex? How are you going to broach that subject as well? Because remember, girls are going through puberty as young as 8 years old now due to toxins in the environment, due to hormones in the food. So we have to have these conversations younger with a child who might still be sleeping with stuffed animals. So it's a tricky balance to get your message across but also be appropriate.
How do you figure out what's appropriate? This is kind of funny. One of the girls in my office was like, she has a daughter who's the same age as mine, who's 17. Well, I decided one day that I should randomly tell her what a Brazilian wax job was. And the other mom, who also has a 17-year-old in my office, was like, flipped out. She's like, you had to tell her now? You couldn't wait till she was older? And I was like, well, I might forget later to tell her what's older. And I didn't, I mean, when she's older. And I didn't find out until I was 40 years old. So I thought that maybe I should, you know, while it was on my mind, I should tell her what it is. Anyways, so how do you decide what's appropriate?
Well, I think you have to look into yourself and you have to say, what are my values and what is it that I'm thinking just because my mom said it? And I think you have to bridge the gap. So, for instance, when you were growing up, if your mom said you can't shave your legs till you're 15 years old, and you were walking around with hairy legs, you were 15, self-conscious about it, and didn't want to wear shorts, then I think you have to say, I'm not going to say that to my daughter because I didn't like how I felt about that. So you have to reflect on your own experience, and you have to say, why am I having a problem discussing something with my daughter? Am I trying to keep her a baby when she's growing up, or do I really feel this is inappropriate? Another question a lot of moms have is, when is it okay to wear makeup? And again, this is a personal decision, but what I suggest is instead of making it, you can't wear it till you're 14 and that's it, and then she goes with her friends and she sneaks it on anyway, I say try to compromise with her, be empathetic, say, honey, why do you want to wear makeup? Are your friends wearing makeup? And if you feel this is really important to her, go to the store with her, say, you know, I need a lipstick. Can you pick one out for me? And then pick out a lip gloss for her. That way she's not looking all made up. She has a little sparkle on her lips. She feels good. You feel good. And you've pretty much averted a disastrous situation where she's feeling you don't understand her, feeling you're not cool, feeling you're not empathetic. So I try to make moms understand that you can still have control without alienating her, which is really the key to the mother-daughter relationship.
You don't want to be your child's worst enemy, because you want to be the parent, but you don't want to be the catalyst that makes her alienated from all of her friends, because that's not good either. Go to bondingoverbeauty.com where you'll find Erica's book. It's an awesome book. I've got it right here on my desk. Can't wait to read it with my own daughter. Thank you so much, Erica, for joining us. Download us at momtalkradio.com. Hey, we have an app. You can download us on your app and take us with you anywhere you go. 9,000 downloads. Let's make it to 10. Join us again next week here on Mom Talk Radio.